Good morning. Stephen and Marcy and all their family are on vacation today, and so you get me. I'm Gary Loudermilk. I'm Kelvin's. Actually, we're not any kin at all. We're just red hair. So we're blessed, and y'all wish you were, but that's all right. One amen out of the whole group. It's good to see you this morning. It's good to be able to worship with you today. I want to ask you a question this morning, and the question simply centers around this. Can I finish the journey? The journey being the life that has been entrusted to us, the life that you and I now live. Can I finish it? Can I finish it the way it needs to be finished? Can I finish it in Jesus Christ, doing what he wants me to do, when he wants me to do it, how he wants me to do it? Can I complete that? You know, we all have different ways that we live. And at beginnings of things, we live one way. There are a lot of you that went to youth camp this summer. When you left for youth camp, there was one way that you left. Everybody was talking. Everybody was visiting. Took place all week while you were there. You came back home a different way. Probably nobody was talking. Everybody was asleep. Somebody was saying, when are we going to get there? It's just a whole different way, the way we begin, the way we finish sometimes. Well, my question is, what about the way we live this life? How are we going to finish it? You're saying, well, I've got, 60, 70, 80 years to finish it. Maybe. See, that's the reality of life. None of us knows exactly how long we've got. We don't know if we're going to live to be age 5 or age 105. It's just the unknown. So how are we going to live this journey in Christ for the full length of time that he gives us, whatever that might be? How are we going to finish it? Several years ago, we lived in Flower Mound. We had a neighbor across the street that she decided to take up jogging for exercise. And her main concern was, what if she jogged too far away, grew weary, grew tired, and couldn't get back home? Could she finish her jog? She thought about it. She worried about it. She became anxious over it. Finally, she reached a decision. We lived on a cul-de-sac. She said she would just jog around the circle. She was never more than 40 feet away from her home all the time, just around the circle. That's how she'd be able to finish the journey. Well, that might not be the most satisfying for you. There's got to be some better answers. So I want us to come this morning into 2 Timothy. And many of you are reading through 2 Timothy and completed it this past week. And we're in chapter 3 and 4 today. And I want us to begin in chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Because Paul's telling Timothy the fact that I am in prison. My life is growing short. I'm probably not going to get out. And I want you to know that. I want you to understand what that means. And so in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, this is what he writes. He says, I'm already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time for my departure is close. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Everything that I believe God gave me to do, what he has asked of me, I have done. And now I'm drawing near to the end of this physical life. I'll probably die in this prison, he's saying. I'm sensing that my life is already being poured out. It's near an end. He will tell Timothy later in that same chapter, he says, I want you to bring me my coat. I want you to bring me my scrolls and my parchments. And I want you to come to me pretty soon. I think I might make it through the winter, so I want my coat so I can stay warm. I want my scrolls and my parchments so I can have time to refresh myself in what God has said and reread the word again. But it's almost over for me physically. My physical life is drawing near to an end. And so he's taken a great portion of this whole letter to Timothy to encourage him, and to encourage him about how he ought to live his life, how he ought to live it from beginning to end in a way that will glorify and honor God. And I'm thinking, how many things do you and I have within our journey that we're trying to finish? I heard Kelvin in his prayer a while ago talk about those that have graduated from high school that are going off to college for the first time. Well, that's a whole new beginning, but it's also a journey. What you begin, can you finish? Will you finish? Will you complete? Some of you here are thinking, you know, I just want to be able to finish out the last few years of my work career so that I can retire and do what I want to do. At least that's what we used to think. Now we're just hoping we can work as long as we live so that we can continue to eat that long, you know? How are we going to finish it out? Well, as he writes to Timothy, he tells him over in the third chapter, beginning in about verse 10, some words of encouragement. Because in the first 9 verses of that third chapter, he's pretty well discouraged him. He said, Timothy, I don't know how to break this to you, but it's just going to get worse and worse and worse. People are bad, they're going to get worse. Life's going to be hard. What you think is good, it's going to go downhill. Just want you to know that. Hope that encourages you some. But then he comes in verse 10, and this is what he says. But you have followed my teaching. Paul to Timothy, you have followed my teaching. My conduct, my purpose, faith, patience, love, and endurance, along with the persecutions and sufferings that came to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra. What persecutions I endured, and yet the Lord rescued me from them all. In fact, all those who want to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Evil people and imposters will become worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and firmly believed, knowing those from whom you learned, and that from childhood you have known the sacred scriptures, which are able to instruct you for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is inspired by God. It is profitable for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Now that's what he says to him. And he's giving him 2 very specific pieces of advice. Here's my counsel to you, Timothy. It's going to get bad. It's going to get worse. It's going to be hard. But here's what I want you to know. I want you to learn from the lives of other Christ followers. I want you to pay attention to them. I want you to look and see how they live their lives and see what goes on and how they face difficulties and how they resolve conflict and how they carry out God's purpose in their life. I want you to take note of those around you that are seeking to live a godly life. And as you observe that, know this. Persecution is certain. Boy, now there's a word of encouragement. Know this, as you observe them, if you're seeking, he says down here in this one verse, all those who want to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Everyone without exception. And some of you are sitting there thinking, not me. My life's pretty good. You may say that persecution is certain. It may say that everyone seeking to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Not my experience. It's all going pretty good for me. No persecution going on here. I got lots of friends. I got a good job. I've got good food to eat. I have a nice house to live in. Everything's going well. I don't want to put you down, and I don't want to call anybody on the spot. But what the scripture said was, all those who seek to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. See, I think in our day, there are a lot more of us claiming the name of Christ who are not so much seeking to live a godly life in Him. We're seeking to live a comfortable life in our culture. We're seeking to live a life where we fit in, where we're like everybody else, where we go unnoticed, where people like us and want to be with us, where we get to do the same things that everybody else gets to do, where we participate in all the same activities, where we appear like the rest of the world. And the reality is that it's hard to take note of the fact that some of us indeed are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, because we don't look any different than anybody else. In the way we act, in what we say, and what we do, we're just there. We're just part of the group. And the way we equate the fact that we're seeking to live a godly life is, it's Sunday morning, I'm in church. What more do you want from me? I mean, I'm here. I'm in attendance. I'm present. Well, there are things that God has said to us and that He's instructing us about that seems to require more than just showing up. It seems to be based more on how we love Him, how we praise Him, how we serve Him, how we relate to our fellow man, how we serve them, how we share this faith that we firmly claim to believe in, how we share Christ through who we are and what we're about. So He says, I've been persecuted. And every person who seeks to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Just know that, Timothy. Be aware of it. Be alert to it. Know it's going to happen to you. The word doesn't change for you and me today. If you and I seek truly to live that godly life in Christ Jesus, there's going to come that time that we're going to be persecuted. Paul says, for me, it was in Antioch, it was in Iconium, it was Lystra. Pay attention, Timothy. You've seen all those things take place for me. But Timothy, did you also notice, not only is persecution certain, as you observe the lives of other Christ followers, did you also notice that there's a divine strength that comes to rescue you? There's a divine strength that lifts you up and sees you through. And every one of those experiences, God saved me. He redeemed me. He made it possible for me to continue to live and to continue to minister. Now, admittedly so, Paul's already said, I'm near at the point of death. I'm probably going to die in this prison. It's going to be the end of me physically. But there's still no denying the presence of God within his life to give him opportunity to share and to testify and to live before others the life that Christ has given him to live. You and I sometimes look at the things in our lives that we don't like, some things that go wrong, and we miss how God's using them. I had the opportunity this past week to visit with a pastor in our area. And he was telling me he and his wife's story. It seems that in about 2003, 2004, his wife discovered she had breast cancer. And so she's been through all the process and all the treatments and all of those things from that day till the present, and still has regular checkups with their oncologist. And about 2 years ago, she and her husband were visiting with the oncologist and getting one of those good reports that particular day. Everything's looking good. Everything seems to be healing well, so forth and so on. And when he finished the report, said the doctor kind of leaned back and took some time with them because they'd become friends over a period of time. He says, let me tell you my story. And he began to tell how he grew up in Colombia and how in his village where he had grown up, he had longed for seeing people come there and share Christ with the people that he had known. He'd had the opportunity to become a Christian. He'd had the opportunity to go to school, get an education, eventually go to med school, wind up in the United States. And he said, you know, I just wish that somehow God would send someone to those villages that I grew up in, to really share and to teach them and to let them know the difference that God can make in their lives. Long story short, this couple, since that story, in the last 18 months have made 4 trips to those villages in Colombia and have taken others with them. And in the course of that, this summer, they had 350 boys and girls in Vacation Bible School, many of whom were saved during that time and have fallen baptism. They've also built a church building up on a mountain in the second village that's there. And the lady, the pastor's wife, the lady with breast cancer, her testimony now is this: I am so glad that God saw fit to see that I got breast cancer. Had I not, I would never have met my oncologist. Had I never met him, I would never have heard his story about his village in Colombia. Had I never heard his story, we never would have gone. Had we not gone, who would have told those boys and girls, those men and women, about Christ? Who would have built the church? Through my persecution, God's divine strength gave me opportunity to help finish my journey in a way that glorified Him. I realize that you and I have to be selective at who we look at whose life we choose to follow, at whose life we choose to be take as an example for ourselves. There are times I don't want you to look at my life. I don't want you to see me on Monday. That's my cranky, grumpy day. I may not want you to see me yesterday. I may not want you to hear what I said last Thursday. I've just got a lot of stuff in my life that doesn't always, I don't want it always to be shared, because the truth is, even when I try to live that godly life in Christ Jesus, I still mess up. I sense that maybe that's true for some of you as well. We all mess up to a certain extent in a lot of different areas. And so we have to be very selective. In fact, Paul would get to a point of not only saying, look at me. He finally says over in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1, he says, listen, best of all, be imitators of God. Seek to live like Jesus Christ. Let Him be your example. It's not trying to be like the best of us. It's like trying to be like Him. That's our calling. That's what we're responsible to. If we're going to live and finish out this journey well, our goal is to live like Christ, to make Him our standard. Well, there's a second thing that he suggested to him, and that was that he continue to read and apply the Scriptures, that he make those a continuing part of his life. Now, he makes it clear to Timothy that this has always been a part of his life. Your mom, your grandma, they taught you to do this. You've done this from a child up, but you just don't outgrow that. You need to continue. Why? Because this is the primary source material. Those of you in school, those of you out of school, you know there's a difference between primary sources and secondary sources. Primary source is that which a person that you're trying to study, learn about, has written themselves. It's the autobiography. It's their actual writings. It's their actual speeches. It's the, you know, their account of what they did. Secondary sources are things about them, things you and I might write about them. In our day, we read spiritual material. But in our day, we read more about God's Word than we read God's Word. That's a little bit disturbing. We choose secondary sources over the primary source. And Paul says to Timothy, choose the primary source. Read it first. Study it. Continue to make it your own. And understand that as you do, it has purpose. It has meaning. It has reason for you to read it. In fact, he said down in verse 16, not only is this inspired by God, not only is it a primary source, but it is profitable for teaching. It is good for rebuking, for correcting, for training in righteousness. We mess up, it tells us where we messed up. It trains us in how we need to live better. Teaches us what we need to know and understand and how we relate to each other. So observe the lives of other Christ followers and read and apply the Word of God. So here's the last question. Who's guiding your journey? Who's guiding your journey? I asked this in the first service. I'll ask it again. But how many of you have a GPS? What type of GPS? You got a GPS. Okay. So I'm the only one in the room without a GPS. I still get my guidance from the stars and the sun. When my wife and I travel somewhere, and if we know it's west, the sun's over there, I say, if we just keep following the sun, we'll get there. She said, shouldn't you use a map? You want to stop somewhere and ask for directions? Nope, we'll just follow the sun. If we keep going that way, we'll find it. She can testify that that's true. She's sitting right over here thinking, oh no, we'll get lost going to a restaurant after this service. But we see a lot of new places that way, you know? I don't have a GPS, but I understand a little bit about the configuration of a GPS. A GPS somehow already knows where you are. And to me, that's just plain scary. How does it know where you are? And why do you want it to know where you are? But that's a whole different thing. You take your GPS and you put in where you want to go. And then it maps out a little set of directions for you. And then it starts talking to you and telling you how to get there. Back out of your driveway. No, not that way, the other way. Go down the street, avoid the tree, stay in the left lane, turn left, so forth and so on. 2/3 of a mile, pull onto the highway. Teach you all this. If you decide you don't want to follow those directions, and you just keep on going, instead of turning at the 3/10 of a mile, you decide, I'm going to see what happens if I go 6/10 of a mile. That GPS starts talking to you. First, it talks to itself, recalculating. And then it tells you something so informative like, make a U-turn. How does it know you need to make a U-turn? And why do you do it? Why do you follow the directions of the GPS? You pretty much assume that it knows more than you do and it can get you where you want to go. Why do we not understand that about God's Word? That in essence about living our lives, how we're to live them, how we're to relate to each other, what we're to do with our lives, how we're to make a difference in our communities, how we're to relate to our neighbors, how we're to relate to our spouses, how we're to relate to our children and to our parents. It's all in His book. And when we mess up and we don't obey, we don't do it His way, He suggests to us, make a U-turn. Confess your sin and repent of it and turn to Me. Make a U-turn and come back. What about your journey? Who's guiding it? You? I don't know about you, but when I guide my own, it's just a mess. Constantly a mess. Failure after failure after failure. If that's your experience, why do you want to keep doing that? Do you like to fail that much? Does it just feel good? You're looking for sympathy in the world? What? Paul is telling Timothy, the way you finish your journey, whether you're just at the front end of it or whether you're near the very back end of it, the way you finish it is in Jesus Christ. Seeking to live a godly life in Christ Jesus. Not by the way I would do it, not by the way you would tell me to do it, but by the way He lived it before me and revealed it to me through His Word. As He says, this is the way I want you to live, Gary. This is the way I want you to live your journey. This is the path I want you to take. This is what He says to you. This is what He says to me. So the question is, who's guiding your journey? And is today a good day, if Christ is not the one guiding it, to decide to allow Him to begin to guide it, that you might finish the journey well? Let's pray together this morning. As we pray, what's God saying to you? What does He want to do with your life? How does He want to help you finish out your journey? Whether you've got 80 more years on that journey or whether you've got 8. How does He want you to finish it? What's He saying to you? Maybe today's a good day as you listen to Him. Say, Lord, the truth is, I've never come to a place of allowing You to really be the Lord of my life, to take control, to set the path, to lead me on the journey. Never been willing to obey You in that. But today I'm willing. Maybe God's saying to you, you claim to have a relationship with Me, but I really want you to have some fellowship with other believers to encourage you and strengthen you and help you on this journey. So maybe He's saying today's the day you need to become part of First Baptist Louisville. Maybe He's saying something to you about the journey that you're on and some things that you need to get rid of on that journey. Some things that you've allowed to become such a part of your life that you don't even hardly realize how far they are from the will of God for you. But He wants to reveal that to you, wants to show it to you. Maybe today's the day you need to begin to throw some things out and say, I don't want to do that anymore. I don't want to think that anymore. I don't want to behave that way anymore. I don't want to talk like that anymore. Instead, I want to do everything that simply honors my Lord. I'm not content to just be like everybody else. I want to start to become like Him. Father, in these moments, we simply pray that Your will might be done. We pray that You might move in our midst in such a way that we have a desire to live out this journey, this life You've entrusted to us, to live it with You, to live it in obedience to You, to honor You in what we say, what we do, that this morning we might honor You with the decisions that we make, with the changes that we make, that we might hear from You. And whatever You say to us, whatever You ask of us, we'd be willing to do. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.